Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Bamed Tzia, daf Tesvav. We are holding at the top of daf Tesvav, an Aleph, 11 lines down from the top. Bein the Rava, Bein the Rabba Barafuna. Gemara today on Amana Aleph is going to continue this discussion of who exactly is Notel Shvach, who is exactly is Notel Peros. Is that the case by a Baal Chov, by a creditor? Is that the case by somebody who purchases a field and then finds out that field was stolen? The Gemara Amana Beis is also going to continue that discussion. It's going to have a small tangent, an interesting sugya barring from Kiddushin, about somebody who tries to be Mekadesh his sister, and what exactly is the status of the money. I don't think it's a question what the status of the Kiddushin is. Everybody holds that the Kiddushin is not Chal. But what's the status of the money? And then the Gemara will conclude with passing some halachos from the discussions that we've seen in the past few days. So we are holding at the top of Tezvav Min Aleph, 11 lines down. Again, being the Rabba Barafuna. Essentially, what the Gemara is picking up with, we'll see it in Rashi, but we had quoted this Tashima about how we extract payment for achilas peros, for fruits that were eaten from a field. Rabba Bar Rafuna and Rava had different understandings of that brisa. Rava had said that the case was somebody stole a field, and he ate all the peros in the field, and then he destroyed the keren, the principle of the field, by digging caves and wells in the field, and he dealt with the payments accordingly. And Rabba Bar Rafuna established the case as somebody who stole a field. And then Masikin, people who just stole it, Rashi says, Anosim Akum, forceful robbers came and stole the field from the person who stole it. So the question is, what happens to the payment for that? So now, says the Gemara, we have to look into the opinions of Rava and Rabba Bar Rafuna about establishing this case. Bein the Rava, Bein the Rabba Bar Rafuna, Malve alpehu, umalve alpeh, eno goim min chasim mishu abadim. So it says Rashi over here on the side. Bein the Rabba, bein the Rava, demok mi gvias keren min hagazlan benigzal. According to both Rabba and Rava, who established this case where the principal payment for the field is going to be paid, where somebody stole the field from somebody else and then sold it to another person, and he didn't have the rights to do that because the field didn't really belong to him. So how is he going to pay back the person who bought it from him for the peros that were eaten in the field? This is basically a loan which doesn't have a document testifying about the loan, because essentially what happened here was a sale where they sold a field that wasn't theirs, and now they have to pay back the person who bought it. That's essentially a loan for the value of the field. But it's not a loan that was documented in a shtar, in which case you can't pay back more than the value of the sale for the field, you can't pay back the principal for the field, because that'll be being goveh min hachasim mishu abadim. You would be collecting from lien property. And if you have a milveh al peh, if you have a loan which is essentially oral but not written down in a shtar, we assume that cannot be goveh, that cannot collect from min hachasim mishu abadim. So this is going to be a problem for both Rabba and Rava. How did they understand this Tashma, which we quoted before, which said that you could be goveh as a kerem min hachasim mishu abadim? For both Rabba Bar Rafuna and Rava, this seems to be only an oral loan. So answers the Gemara, Hacha b'mayaskinan kishe'amud bedin v'hadar zavin. The case that we're dealing with, where both Rava and Rabba Bar Rafuna allow you to collect from lien property, is where the person who stole the field, before he sold it to you, first went to court against the person really brought him to court, the person from whom he stole that field. It says Rashi, kishe'amud bedin kodem shemachar nechasav. They came in the Chavivu Beisdin, Isle Kala, the Havale Kemilve Bishtar. Before this thief sold the property to the person who bought it, he went to Beisdin to deal with the person from whom he stole it. And a voice essentially went out, says Rashi.
The other way around, the Nigzal took the Gazlan to court.
That's the saying. The person who stole it was not taking the other person to court.
Meant. Yeah.
I think that's what I said also. But
I don't think so. But
oh, okay.
Right. We all know.
Okay, as long as we all know. But I thought I was trying to make that clear, that it's not that the person who stole it took the other person to court, because why would they do that? They're going to get in trouble. It's that the person who was stolen from took the thief to court. Kishamad bidin. And then the thief sold that property. So because this case was already adjudicated in Beis Din,
there was a kol.
It was known that there was this outstanding obligation. There was, so to speak, a lien that the person was going to have to pay back the person from whom he stole. And thus, the person who bought it essentially is entitled to collect min hachasim mishu abadim. It's not treated as a milveh al peh. It's not treated as an oral loan. It's as if it was documented because there was an outstanding court case about this field.
So the
thief stole sold other property.
Right, the thief sold other property, which was not his, which is part of the Gemara's ongoing discussion. We saw yesterday at the top of Amud Beis.
He stole that very property, and he had no other property.
Right, but that property that he sold wasn't his. He stole it from somebody. Yeah, that's what we're clarifying. Yeah. Right. So the Gemara had said before on Yedalat Amud Beis, there was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about somebody who sells a field and then it turns out that it's not his. And on Amud Beis today, we're going to have a case where somebody bought the field knowing that it wasn't the person who sold it, this field. This is sort of an ongoing discussion, but essentially this is not treated like an oral loan because this case is already starting to be adjudicated in Beis Din. It says if there was a documented shtar for this sale, which looks like a loan, and that's why the person who bought the field mistakenly is allowed to collect even from lien property. So then ask the Gemara, Ihachi, Peros Nami. If that's true, then when the person is coming to collect payment for the fruits that were eaten from the field, which he paid for, he should also be able to collect from Nechasim Mishu'abadim. He should also be able to collect from lien property. So why is it that we assume that he can only be Govem Minechasim B'nei Chorin? For the peros, he could only collect from property which is not leaned. If this case was really starting to be adjudicated in Beis Din, the person who was stolen from took the thief to Beis Din, then the person who bought the field should be able to collect for the peros from the Chasim Shabbatim also.
How can he collect from the Chasim Shabbatim for the carrot if the Goslin has the Chasim B'nei Chorin?
I think the reason is because generally we assume that there are certain qualities of land which are owed to different people, different amounts for Aksuba and for Nezikin.
But even if you have
Bachol, I think it's Govim Beinonis, right?
But if the guy has Ziburius, even if he has bad fields, a creditor, can't go to Nechazim Mishavadim. He has to take what the Balchov has.
But if he's made it in a Apotheke.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, I think the din is that a Balchov is going to be Beinonis. Yeah. And except for rare exceptions where they're abundant, say, because of certain other factors, we're going to make you take Ziburis.
All of the things being equal, if the borrower has various types of fields, the Balchov is going to be Beinonis.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But here, we're saying he's going to collect from the Chosim Mishabodim at a time when his Balchov has property, because you're saying you should collect the payers from that property. You can't go to the Chasim Shabbatim when your counterparty has property.
But if a counterparty only has Ziburis,
it doesn't matter.
Are you sure that's right?
Yeah. So the answer has to be is there's enough free property to
there's,
pay.
There's not enough the, to pay. There's not enough to pay the for Karen, the Karen. Only enough to pay for the payers.
Yeah, but I don't know. See that came to. I'm not sure. Because the more goes on, let's just finish the Peros discussion for one more line, or a few more lines, and then we'll see if that helps us answer this question. Ihachi Peros Nami. So we're asking, why can't you collect for the Peros also from lien property? So answers the Gemara, Kshamad Bedin ala Karen, but Amad Bedin ala Peros. The case that was being adjudicated in court between the person who was stolen from and the person who stole, they were only dealing with the principal amount. They were not dealing with the value of the Peros in the field. Therefore, the court case, which is being used to make this like a milveh b'shtar, to make this like a documented loan, only applies to the principal amount. It doesn't apply to the payer's amount. That's why the person who bought the field can only collect from lien property for the principal amount, but not for the payer's amount, because only the principal amount is treated as if it was written down in a shtar. So ask the Gemara, my paska, I don't understand. That doesn't seem equivocal. Why would you split and say that the person only was adjudicating for the principal amount and not adjudicating for the peris amount? So answers the Gemara, stam demilta ki tava inish karna tava bereisha. Gemara answers that the stam is, the general case will be, that when a person is first claiming certain money, he's going to claim the principal amount first. So the way the Gemara answers, it sounds like really a person would have adjudicated for both the principal amount and for the peris amount. It's just that you would always do the principal amount first. And the case must be that they only were able to deal with the principal amount in court before this sale happened. They weren't yet able to deal with the Paris amount. Right? So right now we're saying they were only Omid Bedin on the principal amount, but they weren't Omid Bedin on the Paros. So back to the discussion from a second ago, if there was value for the Paros also, they just weren't Omid Bedin on it yet, then seemingly there could have been enough value to pay from unleaned property for the entire principal amount, right? also? I mean, it's unclear exactly what the values that we're dealing with here, but if we're saying that there was enough for both the principal amount and also for the peros, then in theory, maybe the buyer could have been gove, could have collected from unlien property, even can I get the principal amount? So why do we have to make this sukimta that there was only enough value to pay for the peros from unlien property, but not enough value to pay for the principal amount?
Otherwise you have Moshe's question,
but the answer that we're giving might not be consistent with the Gemara. I'm not sure. So I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not 100% sure because the Gemara does have ukimtas where the Gemara says, in certain cases, really a creditor should collect from medium value property. But in certain circumstances, because of counter pressures, we require him to collect only from zivuris, only from the lowest quality fields, and not from medium quality fields. But I don't think that's true in all cases. I'm not 100% sure that he should not be able to be gove minachasim shubadim, especially if we're treating it as a milvah mishtar, just because there's ziburis, which is unleaned. But I don't know.
If he only has the best property only, he doesn't have the middle and the lower ziburis, what happens then?
If he only has the highest quality. Then I think for sure we would say, you know, it's your fault that you didn't leave around any medium quality fields that were unleaned, so he could collect from there. Since you leaned away all your medium value properties and all you have left is edis, then you have to pay for edis. Right? But in the reverse, I don't think we always penalize the creditor because the debtor leaned all his property or all his medium value property. I think we, in some instances, do enable the creditor to collect from the medium property, even though it's leaned, when he has the right to collect from lien property. That's my understanding. Okay, fine. Very difficult sugyas. I remember the first time I learned this Gemara like 6 years ago. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I spent hours and hours trying to figure this out. It was very stressful, very, very difficult sugyas. So now ask the Gemara, V'savar Shmuel, okeach migazlan leit leishivcha. The Gemara in Amud Beis had said, on Yedawa in Amud Beis, had said that according to Shmuel, if somebody buys from a thief, they don't get payment for the shvach. They don't get payment for the value that they increase the field for. So ask the Gemara now, does Shmuel actually hold that? The Ha'amar le Shmuel, the Rav Chanina bar Shelas, Amlich v'kasav shufra shivcha uperi. Shmuel told Rav Chanina bar Shelas, who Rashi tells us was a sofer, he was somebody who wrote documents, that you should ask the parties involved in the transaction about shufra and shivcha uperi, about the different amounts that would have to be paid in the event that something happens to the field. Let's see Rashi. Rav Chanina bar Shela says Rashi sofer haya. He was a sofer, as we mentioned. And Shmuel told him, Amlich v'katev shufra shivcha uperi. Amlich, says Rashi, k'she'ata kotev shtar, when you write a document, himalech b'mocher, ask the person selling the land, imikaba alav l'hagbos l'lokeach, mishfar nechasav, karna v'shivcha uperi, imyatarfua mimenu. Ask the seller if he is accepting responsibility to pay off the buyer in the event that something happens, to pay off the buyer from the best of his property for keren and shvach and peros, for the principal amount and for any amount that he increases the value of the land, and for the peros if this land ends up being taken from him. So would Shmuel really hold that if you buy from a gazlan, you don't collect shvach? If Shmuel is telling his sofer, Rav Chanina bar Shelas, to always ask and make sure that the mocher wants to be mekabel responsibility to pay for the shevach. So it sounds like, according to Shmuel, you would have to pay for the shevach. Now, could it be, just to get back to Moshe's question for 1 second, that because we're dealing with somebody who bought from a thief, that the lokeach has a different din than the Baal Chov? That the lokeach, it sounds like, according to this Rashi, you're gove mishvar nechasa, from the best of the nechasim. So is it possible that the difference that we're accounting for here, or that we're struggling to account for, is the difference between a lokeach and a Baal Chov? Is that possible?
It's possible, you know. I don't know that there's a, just because I don't know that there's a distinction between a malva and a lokeach, that doesn't mean there isn't. You know?
Yeah, so I'm not sure either. The Gemara keeps going back and forth. Also, here it's really complicated when it's talking about a creditor. When it's talking about Baal Chov, so is it talking about the collections that the creditor himself gets, or is it talking about the collections that the buyer gets when the creditor comes and takes the field from him? So it's hard to trace exactly what's going on here. I'm having a really difficult time in these sugyas. Very, very difficult stuff. So I don't know. That remains an outstanding question. But nonetheless, the Gemara is bothered. How could Shmuel say that a lokeach migazlan, someone who buys from a thief, doesn't collect shvach? It sounds like he's telling a sofer to make sure that the mocher accepts the responsibility to pay off the shvach, because the lokeach really collects the shvach. So answers the Gemara, or continues the Gemara, b'mai. What's the case where Shmuel is telling the sofer to ask about payment's responsibility for the shvach? Yiba balchov mi islei peiri. If we're dealing with a creditor, so how would that make any sense? Does a creditor collect peiros? In this list, we're saying that you have to accept responsibility for the principal amount and for the shvach and for the peiros. But if it's talking about a balchov, v'ha amar Shmuel, balchov goves a shvach, shvach in aval peiros lo. Shmuel said that a creditor only collects for the shvach, but not for the peiros. So why would he tell his sofer to make sure that the mocher accepts responsibility for the peiros as well? Elav b'lokeach migazlan. Mustn't we be talking about somebody who buys from a thief? And thus it should be clear that according to Shmuel, someone who buys from a thief is entitled to collect payment for the shvach. So why would Shmuel, on Yudal and Mabez, and Smachok, Sarav, and Shmuel, say that Mos Yeshlo, Shvach Einlo, that the person who buys from a thief, and then it turns out that he was a thief, collects the money back that he paid for the field, but he doesn't collect the shvach? So answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Hach B'mayaskinan, Kegon Sheyeshlo Karka. Says Rav Yosef, the case that we must be dealing with, and you have to wonder if this goes back to all the cases, but the case that we're dealing with is where the thief who sold the field has karka. He has land in his possession with which he can pay off the shvach that the purchaser, that the buyer, increased the value of the field with. So essentially what the Gemara is struggling with is that the Gemara had said this seems to be an issue of michzi karibis. It seems to be an issue that when the thief sells a field, let's say the thief sells a field for 100, and then the buyer increases the value, and now it's worth 120. Now the person who really owned the field comes and collects it from the buyer. So if the thief is going to pay the buyer back 120, that seems like ribis. That seems like a loan with interest, because he initially bought it for 100, and now the person is giving him back 120. This is all structured like a loan, albeit an oral loan, but a loan nonetheless, and thus it seems like ribis. So what Rav Yosef is answering is that when the thief who sold the field has karka, he owns property that he can give to the person who bought it, then it no longer looks like an issue of ribis, because they're not giving back 120 for 100, they're just giving back land, and thus in the case of land, you don't have an issue of it looking like ribis. But that's not going to be so simple, that's not going to be so pashut. Essentially, this should get around the issue of ribis, but not so clear. Says Abaye, are you allowed to lend a sa'ah, let's say, of wheat, a sa'ah of wheat for another sa'ah of wheat just because you have land? The Gemara elsewhere, I believe it's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, Ayin Hay Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is going to discuss that you're not allowed to loan commodities even for exactly the same size, because it's possible that the commodity is going to increase in value, and when the person pays you back that same measure, it's going to be michzi karibis. It's as if they're paying you back interest on the loan that you gave them. And says Abaye, even if a person owns land, that doesn't make it okay to be lending or making a transaction that looks like ribis. So why here would you say that the thief is allowed to pay the person who bought it from him back extra money just because he has land with which he can do so? That shouldn't get rid of the ribis concern. That shouldn't get rid of the issue that this looks like ribis. So answer to Rav Yosef, no, you're totally misunderstanding. Amrlei hasam halva hacha zvini. The case that you're talking about where you're lending commodities of a certain size, of a certain measure, is actually a loan. But here we're dealing with a sale. So a sale by nature doesn't look as much like an issue of ribis, doesn't look as much like an issue of lending with interest, because it's structured as a sale, not as a loan. There are still some concerns that we have to steer clear of and make sure we're not having any issues. But in the event that the person has land with which he can pay back the person who bought it from him, then you don't have to worry about michzi karibis. Masha ein kein, when it comes to lending commodities, there we would say that even if the person does have land, it's still michzi karibis and it would still be us. Now, ikeda amri, amar Rav Yosef, hacha b'mayaskinan kegon shekanu miyada. An alternative answer that Rav Yosef gave for why it doesn't look like ribis is not that the thief has other land with which he can pay off the debt, but kishakanu miyado, where an acquisition was made, says Rashi, shakanu miyado al hashvach, that the mocher, the thief who sold the field, accepted responsibility to pay back the increase in value that the buyer would make. Dehavale mechuyav mishas hamecher kodem shiyishchar hamtanas mos. And that makes it as if the thief is obligated to pay back the extra value for the shvach already from the beginning of the sale. Already at the beginning of the sale, and thus it doesn't look like he's giving him an interest payment for the value of the loan which is the money that he gets to use for the time being. That's generally the problem of interest, is that the interest is being paid as a penalty or as a, a price for the time that you get to use the money for. It says Rabbi Yosef, if you're Makabel, that you're going to pay that Shevach, you're going to pay what otherwise would be interest, already at the time of the transaction, in the very beginning, when it comes to a sale, this is not going to be okay. I think Mark's going to clarify that. This is not going to be okay when it comes to a loan. But for a sale, if you accept responsibility, Merosh, then it would be okay. There's no Rivis issue. So Amar Le'abaye, V'chem Mutter Lovo Sa'ab Sa'ab Makom Shekanu Miyado, says Abaye, the same issue. Are you able to lend a measure for a measure of commodities just because you accept upon yourself that you're going to pay the Rivis later on? The case that you're talking about of lending commodities is a loan, so there it would not be okay just because you made an acquisition because you were kind of yado. But here, since we're dealing with the sale, then it would be okay as long as you accept initially, then it doesn't look like you're giving any payment for the schar hamtanas maos, for the value of being able to use the money in the interim. Okay, so that's part of that discussion of whether somebody who buys from a thief can collect the shvach. Now we return to Shmuel's statement where he said that a creditor could collect payment for the shvach for the value that the field was increased. Amar Rava says, Rava Teda, I can prove to you that Shmuel is correct, that the Baal Chov is Gove Es HaShvach, Shekach Kotev Lo Mocher Lilokeach, because look at the sale document, look what the seller writes in the shtar to the buyer. He says, Ana Eikom Be'eshvi Be'edki Be'amrex Vine Ilin. He accepts that he's going to get up and he's going to quiet any protesters who protest to the sale of this field. And he's going to be Be'edki, he's going to be Metaher, literally the process. He's going to purify it and make sure the case is totally clean. Be'amrik, he's going to be Menakeh, the, right? Like Lashon Merikeh Vishtifa. He's going to clean off the entire sale. Inun Be'amaleon Vishivcheon. The value of the sale and the value of any hotzos that are made for the work of this land, and also any shvach that is incurred, any shvach that is created in the value of this land, the ekom kadamach, and I will stand up in front of you and make sure that this case is completely settled, v'tzavis vina dinan, and then we record in the shtar that the buyer accepted these terms and accepted this sale, the kabil aloi, and everybody agreed to the requirements, everybody agreed to the responsibilities, this case was entirely accepted. Thus, it's clear in the shtar that the mocher is taking responsibility for the shvach. He's taking responsibility for the value that the field will be increased. And thus, it's clear that, like Shmuel says, Baal Chov is goves shvach, that a creditor does collect the shvach. So, Amar Rav Chiya bar Rav and the Rava, Ela me'ata matanu de lo ksiv lehachi, hachanami de lo tarif shivcha. Says Rav Chiya bar Avin to Rava, is that to suggest that when it comes to a matana, if you're just giving a person a gift, where you don't write this entire language, you probably don't even write a shtar, so would it be true that the person who receives the matana, let's say a creditor comes and tries to collect the land from the person who received the matana, that the Baal Chov would not be Torif the Shvach, that he cannot collect the value of the Shvach? Samar Le'in, he says, yeah, that's actually true. So then asks, seemingly Rav Chiya bar Avin is still bothered, V'chi yafek koach matana mi mecher? Is it possible that the koach of a matana, that the koach of somebody who just receives a present would be better from mecher, from somebody who buys a field, in that the Baal Chov would be goves hashvach in the case of a purchase, but he would not be goves hashvach in the case of a matana. So how could it be that the person who's accepting the matana has more koach when they're just accepting a gift than they do when they're buying a field from somebody else? You would think that when they buy, they should have more koach because they're actually spending money for that for the field that they're buying. So Amar Le'in, Yafa v'Yafa, don't be bothered. It's always interesting when the Gemara has a double lashon, like Yafa v'Yafa, that means they really believe this strongly, that yeah, the koach of matana is actually going to be stronger than mecher. Says Rashi, Yafa v'Yafa bedavar zeh, it is better to be makabel matana than it is to buy a field, at least in regards to this aspect of it. The cave into the harder gavi le, lo mafsid le b'midi, lo afsid le Baal Chov. We're not going to penalize the Baal Chov in a way because there's nothing. There was no really financial outlay when it comes to this matana. The bishlam agufa shel karka amrle amai ma'ayin eg bechovi aval shivcha amrle mayav saritich. As far as the principal amount of the credit owed to the creditor, so that it makes sense that the creditor could be makabel from the person who is makabel matana. It makes sense that the Baal Chov could accept the principal amount from, could collect the principal amount from the person who received the matana because he needs to collect his debt from somewhere. But as far as the shvach, as far as the increase in value of the land, so the person who received the matana could tell the Baal Chov, I'm not causing you to lose anything because you didn't spend anything for this. You're still collecting your entire debt. And therefore, he can't be goveh es shvach. So it works out that a makama matana the Baal Chov would not be gove as such bracha. Now says Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Hamas Nisa Messiah Leila Mar Shmuel. The following brisa supports Mar Shmuel. Vehuna Chavrin Mokim La Bemili Acharini. But Huna, our friend Huna, presumably it's going to be, I don't know, the Gemara doesn't say exactly which Huna it is, establish it as dealing with something else. What is this brisa that Rav Nachman's referring to that supports Shmuel? D'tanya hamocher sada lechavera v'arei yotze mitachas yado. Let's say a person sells a field to his friend, and then that field is departing for whatever reason, the person who bought it. K'sheu gove, gove es akerim minachasim mishu'abadim, v'shevach gove minachasim b'nechor. So when the person collects the value of the field that was taken from him, he collects the principal amount from nechasim mishu'abadim, from lien property, and he collects the shevach, he collects the additional amount from unlien property. Huna chavrin mokim la b'mili achreina v'lokeach midaslan. Huna establishes this as a case of someone who bought a field from a thief. They bought a stolen field, but Rav Nachman's assuming the simple understanding of the brisa is that we're dealing with a baal chov, and thus this supports Mar Shmuel. This supports Shmuel that a baal chov could be goves hashvach because this brisa said clearly that you could be goves hashvach, albeit from unlien property, but nonetheless you could collect payment for the shvach, and thus that brisa supports Shmuel. Tanya Ida, Hamocher Sada Lechavero Vehishpicha, says the Brisa, let's say somebody sells a field to his friend, and that friend increases the value of the field, Uva Balchov Vetarfa, and a Balchov comes and collects that field from the person who bought it. Keshe Ugove, when the person comes to collect the value for the field that was taken from him by the creditor, so Imashpach Yoter Alayetzia, if the value that the field increased was greater than the expenditure on the field, meaning you bought a field for 100, you spent $50 to increase the value of it, and the value actually increased by 100, so the incremental value is more than what you spent. So if the increase in value is more than what you spent, so notel et hashevach mibal hakarka, v'hayetzia mibal chov. You would collect the value for the increase of the field over the expenditures that you made. So let's say the extra 50 in our case, the extra 50 between the 50 that you spent and the 100 that it actually increased, that you would collect from the person who owned the field, who sold it to you. And the $50 that you actually spent on the field, you would collect from the baal chov. But if the expenditure was greater than the value that the field actually increased, meaning you invested $50 into the field, but it only increased in value by $25, so ein lo ela hotza shir shvach mi baal chov. All you get is you get the value of the expenditures that you made in accordance with how much the field actually went up. So meaning even though you spent 50, since the field only went up by 25, all you would collect would be 25, and you would collect that from the baal chov. You would collect that from the creditor. So ask the Gemara, v'hashmuel b'may mokim la. How is Shmuel going to understand this brisa? I belokeach migazlan, if this brisa is talking about someone who buys from a thief. So kasha reisha, d'amar Shmuel lokeach migazlan leit leishivcha. That would be problematic for Shmuel, because the reisha of this brisa goes against Shmuel. Shmuel said that if someone buys from a thief, they don't collect for the shvach at all. And the reisha, the beginning of this brisa, says that you could be notal the shvach mi balakarka. It says that the person who buys this field can collect the increase in value from the person who owns the field. So that would be against Shmuel if we're dealing with the case of a lokeach mi gazlan, someone who bought from a thief. Shmuel holds you shouldn't collect any payment for the shvach, and this brisa seems to indicate that you would. And iba bal chov, if we're talking about a creditor here, then kasha reisha viseifa, both parts of the brisa are problematic. The amar Shmuel bal chov goves hashvach, because Shmuel says that a creditor collects the shvach payment, and this brisa is indicating that the person who bought from the person who sold the field, from whom the creditor then came and collected the field, the person who bought the field gets to collect from the creditor. So how could this brisa fit with Shmuel if Shmuel holds that the creditor receives payment, and this brisa is saying that the creditor has to make a payment? So Iba Yisema, says the Gemara, Iba Yisema, you could say that this brisa is dealing with a lokeach bin gazlan. Lokeach bin gazlan, and kagon sheyesh lo karka, inami bishakanu miyado. Even though Shmuel said that generally someone who buys from a thief does not collect payment for the shvach, there were two okimtas that we had made to understand when a lokeach bin gazlan, someone who buys from a thief, could collect shvach, and that is either that the mocher, the seller, has other land with which he can pay off the property, or with which he can pay off the value, or b'shekanu miyado, when they made a kinyan, he accepted at the time of the transaction that he would pay off the shvach. That's how he got around the ribbis issue. So even though generally Shmuel would say that someone who buys from a thief does not collect for the shvach, this brisa, which indicates that you would collect from the shvach for the shvach, must be talking about one of the cases, the special kimtas that we made, where you could collect from for the shvach, and it wouldn't look like ribbis. That's how Shmuel can understand the brisa, if you wanted to establish it as lokeach migazlan, someone who buys from a thief, and he buys same a balchov. Alternatively, you could establish it as a case of a creditor, as a case of a balchov, and even though that seems to be problematic, because Shmuel said that a balchov does collect shvach, and this brisa is indicating that a balchov has to pay for the shvach, below kasha, that would not be problematic because they're dealing with two different types of shvach. Kan b'shvach ha-magia l'ktefayim, kan b'shvach she'enu magia l'ktefayim. Shvach that rises to the shoulders, literally, what it's referring to is produce that's essentially completely grown. It's sky high, it's all the way up to a person's shoulders, and it basically is about to be harvested, it's just still attached to the ground. So that type of shvach is the type of shvach that a creditor would not collect. And kan b'shvach she'enu magia l'ktefayim, the increase in value of the field, which is not so finished, is not so complete, it's not ready to be harvested yet, that's the type of shvach that the creditor would collect. So when Shmuel said that a creditor does collect shvach, that's talking about the stuff that does not yet reach the shoulders. And when the Braisa said that the creditor has to pay for the value of the shvach to the person who bought the field, that's referring to things which are not really considered like shvach. Shvach ha-magei ha-ktefayim, Rashi says, is almost akin to peros. It's treated like peros, which we had said that a balchov would not collect. That's where the creditor would have to pay the person who bought the field for that. So ask the Gemara about Ma'isim B'chol Yom B'kamag B'Shmuel Afilu B'Shevach HaMagia L'Ktefayim. How could you say that according to Shmuel, the creditor is not entitled to the Shvach, which rises to shoulder level, if there are many cases where cases would come in front of Shmuel, and he would give payment to a Baal Chov, even for Shvach, which rises to a person's shoulders, even for this higher level Shvach, which is more akin to Peros. So it says Gemara Lokasha, Hada Masik Be Kashir Ara B'Shevcha, Hada Lo Masik Be Ela Kashir Ara, De Yoyev Le Shevcha U'Maslik Le. There's no contradiction that's posed by these cases that would come in front of Shmuel, because it just depends how much the debt of the creditor is worth. If the creditor is owed the value of the land and the value of all the shvach, then he'd be entitled to collect even the shvach ha-magia l'ktefayim, even this higher level increase in value, the produce which rises to shoulder height. But if the creditor's debt, if the creditor's credit or the outstanding debt is not worth the entire value of the land and the shevach, but only the value of the land, then the creditor would not be entitled to receive the shevach ha-magia l'ktefayim. So the case of the brisa, which said that the creditor would have to pay for the shvach, which we established as a case of shevach ha-magia l'ktefayim, this higher level shvach which rises to shoulder value, must be a case where the creditor's credit was not worth the entire value of the land and the shevach, it was only worth the value of the land. Memela, he would have to pay the person who bought the field for the shevach ha-magia l'ktefayim, for this higher type of shvach. So it says Gemara, Hanich l'manda amari yisle zuzi l'lokeach l'matzi maslik l'lebal chov shapir. That only works out well if you assume that if the buyer has money, even if the buyer has money, he's not able to just pay off the creditor and tell him to leave. So then it makes sense why the person who bought the field cannot just dismiss the creditor, because even if he has money, he's not going to be able to dismiss him. That's the position of this manda omar. El manda omar ki isle zuzi lelokeach matzi maslik lebal chov. But according to the opinion that if the buyer does have money with which he can pay off the creditor, then he's entitled to do so. So namele ilu havali zuzi hava maslikinach mikule ara hashta de leisli zuzi havali garba, or different girsa garyua de ara beara shir shvachai. How could it be that there's a case where the creditor is the one who's entitled to the shevach and not the lokeach? If you assume that when the lokeach has money, when he has the ability to pay off the creditor, he can do so, then why can't that buyer, why can't the purchaser in this case tell the creditor, had I only had money, I'd be able to remove you from the entire field. I would just pay you off and you would leave and you wouldn't collect your debt from this field. So even though I don't have money right now, at least give me some value in the land, give me some stake in the land, keneged the amount that the land increased, keneged what I should be owed. So answers the Gemara, Hacham Mayaskinan, what is the case that we're dealing with? And this is what Rudy sort of alluded to before. Kegon she'aso aputiki, the case must be where the debtor made an aputiki. You guys have a good English word for aputiki? But the Gemara says that it's an acronym, that it's apotehe kai. He designates property from which the debt should be collected by the creditor. He said,
it's collateral. I mean,
Collateral.
He designates it as collateral.
He designates it as collateral from which the payment has to be collected, right? Yeah. So if he designates this field as the field from which the creditor has to collect the debt that's owed to him, So that's why, even if you assume that generally the buyer could just pay off the creditor and make him not collect from this land, where the debtor made the field a collateral and aputiki, apotehikai, he said, this is where you, the creditor, this is where you, the creditor, is going to collect this value from, then it doesn't matter. The lokeach will not be able to pay off the balchov no matter what. And that's why he can't ask for any land, keneged the increase in value of the field. So that's how we're going to work out these different shitos of Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to continue on with a related discussion. The case on Yadalat Amabez, which sparked this whole discussion, was where you buy a field from a thief and it turns out that it was stolen. It turns out that it didn't belong to the person who sold it to you. Now our case is slightly different. Hikir bash eino shalel belakcha. Let's say you knew at the time that you bought it that it didn't belong to the person who was selling it to you, and nonetheless you bought it from him. So Amar Rav, Mos yeshlo shvach eino. Says Rav, the person who bought this field is entitled to payment back from the person who sold it to him, but he's not entitled to payment for the shvach. Ushmuel Amar afilu Mos eino. Shmuel said you can't even collect payment for the field that you bought, because you knew that the field was stolen, and nonetheless you went and bought it. So we consider that as kilu hiniach ma'usav al keren atzvi. The Gemara has an expression that it's as if you put your money on the horns of a deer, and you basically just threw your money away. But because you knew that this field was stolen and you bought it nonetheless, you're not entitled to payment when that field comes and is collected, when it comes to be that field is collected by the person who really owned it. So b'maika mifligi, what is this argument between Rav and Shmuel, whether ma'us yeshlo or ma'us ainlo? Rav Savar Adam Yodea Shekarka Einlo, Begamar Benatan Lishum Pikadon. Says Rav, both parties, the person selling it and the person buying it, they're aware that the person doesn't really own the field because it was stolen, and he's giving that money to the person who bought it just as a deposit. He's giving that field to the person who bought it as a deposit, but once that field comes and is taken by the person who rightfully owns it, so then the money is gone, and you could receive payment back for that Pikadon, for that deposit, because it was just a deposit. So says the Gemara, b'nameleh l'shem pikadon. Why doesn't the party who's selling the field say that he's giving the money, rather the party who's buying the field, I believe, why doesn't he say that the money is just a pikadon? So sabar lo makabel, he's assuming that they won't be able to agree to terms if it's clear that this is just a deposit, and thus they treat it as a sale. They wouldn't come to terms if it was clear that it was being treated as a deposit, and thus they treat it as a sale, but really the status of the money is that it's going to be treated as a deposit. Ushmuel savar, adam yodea shekarka inlo, vigamar benatan l'shum matana. Shmuel says that the parties are aware that this field doesn't really belong to the person that they're selling, who's selling it, and thus they want the money to just be treated as a matana. So v'neimalei l'shum matana, why doesn't the person say that the money is being given over just as a matana? So k'sifalei milta, it's embarrassing to just give matana, sona matana sichya. So they didn't want to stipulate that that's what was going on.
Here's a thief, and here's a person who's buying stolen property that knows that it's stolen, and this embarrasses them. The idea of a gift is embarrassing to them, but the fact that he's buying stolen property and he knows that he's a goslin.
Right.
That's not embarrassing.
No, 100%. So what are we saying here? It sounds like we're saying the money that was given to the person, according to Shmuel, Moes Matana, the reason the buyer doesn't get payment back is because the money that he gave for the field is just a matana. He knew that the field was stolen, that it didn't belong to the person selling it to him, and nonetheless he gave money for that field, and that Moes should just be a matana, but according to Rav, it would be a deposit, and that's why the person selling the field has to give it back to the person who bought it. So I asked the Gemara about Pligi Bechara Zimna. We already had this Machlokas Rav and Shmuel in Kiddushin. The Gemara told us in Kiddushin, I believe, that let's say somebody tries to be Mekadosh's sister. So Rav says, Moes Chosin, Rav Amar Moes Chosin, Shmuel Amar Moes Matana. Rav says the money goes back to the person who is Mekadosh, the sister. And Shmuel says, no, the sister gets to keep it. It was just a matana. What's that machlokas? Continues the Gemara. Rav Amar Moos Chosrin says, Rav, the money goes back to the person who is Mekadosh. Why? Because Adam Yodea, Shein Kiddushin Tofesin Bachoso, Begamar Benosan Lashon Pikadon. A person knows that Kiddushin cannot be Tofes in his sister. And thus, when he gave his sister money as Kesef Kiddushin, he was giving it over as a deposit. The name of Lashon Pikadon. Why didn't he tell her that he was just giving it to her as a deposit so she should know that she should have to give it back to him? Because he thought that she wouldn't accept it if he told her that it was a pikadon if he told her that it was a deposit. So he figured, better I tell her that it's kedushin. Interesting, the Gemara assumes she accepts it when it's kedushin, but she wouldn't have accepted it that if it was a deposit. But nonetheless, that's what the Mekadesh was assuming. If he told her it was a deposit, she wouldn't accept it. That's why he gave it to her as kedushin. But really, the money status should be that it's a deposit. Shmuel Amar Mos Matana says, Shmuel, the money that he gives his sister for kedushin is treated like a gift. Because Adam Yodea Shein Kedushin Tovsin Bacho, so Vigama Vinasan Lishon Matana. A person knows that he can't be Mekadesh his sister, so he gives the money over as a Matana. Ask the Gemara Vinemela Lishon Matana. Why doesn't he tell her that he's giving her the money as a Matana? It says in Mark, Sifa Lamilta, it's embarrassing again for him to give her the money as a matana, for her to accept it as a matana. The entire thing is embarrassing. So ask the Gemara.
It's not embarrassing that he's marrying his sister.
Right, exactly. Again, same kasha, 100%. So ask the Gemara, why do we need both of these cases? Rav and Shmuel are arguing whether the status of the money is a matana or a pikadon, both in the case of a sale where both parties knew that the field was stolen, and also in the case of trying to be Mekadesh your sister. Why do we need both of these cases? Says the Gemara Tzricha, we do need both of these cases. Diyeh mar baha, if we only have the case of the field, baha kam rav de lo avdi inshi de yavi matana sanukhra. We may have thought that only in the case of the field does Rav say that the most that are given for the field are treated like a deposit, because a person generally wouldn't give a gift to a stranger. When it comes to your sister, who's not a stranger to you, who you know, maybe Rav would agree to Shmuel that the money that you're giving your sister as kesef kiddushin is treated just like a matana, not like a deposit. And if we had the case of the field, behach kamar Shmuel, aval beha ema modele l'Rav. If we just had the case of the sister, I may have thought that only in the case of the sister does Shmuel think that the most that you're giving your sister are like a matana. But in the case of the field, maybe he'd be motivated to Rav that the money is being given as a deposit, because a person wouldn't give a gift to a random person. So tzricha, that's why we need both cases to tell us that according to Rav, in both cases it's going to be a deposit, and according to Shmuel, in both cases it's going to be a matana. And I asked the Gemara, Bein the Rav Damar Pikado, Bein the Shmuel Damar Matana, Hai La'ara B'mai Kanachis, Uperis Hechi Ochil. Both according to Rav, that the most that are given for the field are treated like a deposit, and according to Shmuel, that the most that are given for the field are treated like a gift, how could the person who's buying the field go into the field and use it as if it's his, and eat the peros of the field? He knows that this field is stolen, so how could he enter the field? Whether the money is being given as a Matana or as a Pikadon, he shouldn't have the rights to go down into the field. So answers the Gemara, I'll tell you how the guy could go into the field. Because Savar, Ana Echos La'ara, he thinks that he'll just go down into the field, Ve'aved Be'echo Be'gava, and I'll work the field and I'll eat the pears of the field, Ki'echi Da'aved Ka'aved Ihu, just like the real owner of the field would have done, or the thief even would have done while it was stolen. Ulchi Atar Mare Da'ara, and when the rightful owner comes, so then Zuzi Na'abu, the Rav Da'amar Pikadon Pikadon, the Shmuel Da'amar Matana Matana. Then, when the owner comes, so the money will just be treated, being the Rav, being the Shmuel, however they think. According to Rav, that it should be a Bikado, the money will be treated like a deposit. And according to Shmuel, that the money should be treated like a gift. The money will be treated like a gift. But he thinks that just like the thief would have used this field, so too I'm going to use the field. And we'll deal with the owner when the owner comes around. So that's this new machlokes
from Shmuel. How does that make it legal? How does that make it okay?
I don't know if that makes it legal, but that's at least how the person...
Wasn't that the question?
No, I don't know. The Gemara's question was, Hai le'arab b'may kanachis u'peiris hechi achil. It's not about the rights of the person. It's how the person could even do that. If he knows that this field was stolen, then he should know that it's not his land, and he should think that he doesn't have any rights to go down into the field. How can he even justify to himself?
How can he even have a rationalization?
Right, that's what I think Gemara's really asking. Because otherwise you have this question that you're asking, which is, that doesn't answer how he's allowed to do it. So Elamai, I think the Gemara is wondering, how can he rationalize to himself how he does this if he knows that the field is stolen? And the answer is because, right, I guess this gets back to a question we discussed a little bit in Bava Kamma. When there are financial responsibilities, when there are penalties, is there any isser involved in doing that and paying off the penalties? So maybe what the Gemara is saying is, well, how can he rationalize it to himself? Answers the Gemara. The way he rationalizes it to himself is that he's just going to eat the fruits and deal with the field however he wants. And come the owner of the field, then he'll deal with the penalty, and then he'll deal with...
Why don't you say,
he's chaser, though, no? Because you're eating the fruits of the field.
Well, but he's not around, so... So he's not around. He went right with the Dinas Hayam. He got drafted.
No, it is chaser because you're depleting the field.
Okay, so you fertilize it. I don't know. He's not around, so nobody's doing it. So you have an empty field.
Yeah, so it gets back to the discussion of like renting out the field, which is the sin kenzen, and then there's a lechaser. But if you're only renting out, that's like a house.
But the guy isn't around to rent it from.
Right, so then it's a question, if he wouldn't have rented it while he's not there, then maybe you're not being mechaser him by using it. But the field where you're eating the pears, so I don't know, it seems to me that that would be a chesed.
And today with squatters there, you're better off having somebody...
Yeah, I don't know, let's try to finish up with some tzak halacha here from these sigyas. So Amar Rava, Hilchasa Yesh Lo Mos, Yesh Lo Shvach, the Afal Pisha Lo Peres Lo Et Shvach. In the sugya that we had on Yedavad Amidez, where it turns out that the field was stolen, so it says Rava, we paskin like Rav, that you do get Mos, and you do get the Shvach, even though you weren't Peres Lo Et Shvach. Now, Hikir Ba She'en Shelo, even though you didn't explicate that you're accepting responsibility to pay for the increase in value. Hikir Ba She'en Shelo, Velakcha, Mos Yesh Lo, Shevach Ein Lo. If you knew that the field didn't belong to the person, that he was a thief, and you still bought it, so you do receive payment for the field that you bought, but you don't receive payment for the shvach. And also, we pass in achrayas to sofiru bein b'shtari halva bein b'shtari mekach umimkar. We also pass in that achrayas is a to sofer, that not mentioning full responsibility for the field is a mistake of the scribe, whether we're dealing with shtari halva or shtari mekach umimkar. I think we could just do this small sugi if you guys want to tackle it really quickly. Ask the Gemara, b'yminei Shmuel Marav, Shmuel asked from Rav, Chazer v'lakcha mibaylam harishonim mahu. What would happen if after the thief sold the field to another person, he went and bought it from the person whose field it really belonged to, so that way he could settle up with the person he sold it to and not feel so guilty. So Amar Leh, ma machar lo rishon l'sheni, kos chush shetavol liyado. What did the person who sold the field to the thief sell him? He sold him all the rights. So if the thief sold the field to somebody else, and then he came and bought it from the person from whom he stole it, that enables the person who bought it then from the thief to keep the field. So my taima, why would he go and buy the field from the original owners? So Marzutra Marnechale de Lonakarye Gazlana, Marzutra said he bought it because he doesn't want to be considered a thief. So that way he can make right with the person he sold the field to. He bought it so he would really be the owner. Ravashi Amarnechale de Leko Behemnuse. Ravashi said the real reason that he bought it is not so he won't be called a Gazlan. The real reason is so that it'll still be trusted. So that the person who bought it from him won't not trust this person anymore. He'll maintain his trustworthiness to this person. So ask the Gemara, my benayu, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference between these two positions? Ik benayu de mislokeach. The difference would be if the person who bought the field from the thief died. Ma'adam renechale de lalakari gazlana, the person who thinks that the thief didn't want to be called a thief by the person who bought the field from him. So hamislay, that person died, so you don't have to worry about him calling you a thief. Ma'adam renechale de lekam behemnuse, bahadi bonay nami nechale de lekam behemnuse. The position that the person only bought the field from the original owner so that he can still be treated as a trustworthy person, still wants to be treated as trustworthy to the children of the lokeach also. Well, ask the Gemara, so, karle bani lokeach gazlana. In the end of the day, the children of the person who died, the buyer, is also going to call the person a thief. So even according to the Manda Amr that he bought the field, so he won't be called a thief, you should still have a concern. Ela Ika Binayu says the Gemara de Mis Gazlan. The difference would be where the thief himself died. Manda Amr Nechale Le Enesh Dele Kariu Gazlan Hamisle. According to the position that he doesn't want to be called a thief, well, he died. So he don't even worry about being called a thief. But the Manda Amr Nechale De Lekam Bemnuse Hachanami Afa Gav De Mis Nechale De Lekam Bemnuse. According to the position that he wants to maintain his trustworthiness, so even though he died, he still wants to maintain his trustworthiness. So ask the Gemara, so Karla Bane Bnei Gazlana, they're still going to call his children the children of thieves, so you should still have a concern, the Manda Omar, that he's doing it to not be called a thief. Ela Ika Benayu Diyave Ben Matana. The difference would be if you gave the field over as a gift. Manda Omar Nechale Deleka Memnuse, Matani Nami Nechale Deleka Behafense. According to the position that you're trying to maintain your trustworthiness, that also applies when you give the field over as a gift. Manda Omar Nechale Belanaka Nimavana, Amarle Mai Gazlana Minach. If you gave it as a gift, you don't have to worry about being a thief.